Carl Serafin. Hopefully, I can twist his arm to come back in the next few days. He's got his own program in the morning, which I routinely watch. Nick Fuentes is coming up to cover all the geopolitical issues, domestic issues, Trump's big address tonight. But we have an administration in crisis, the Epstein mishandling, the Charlie Kirk bizarreness, all of the lack of prosecutions. We want Trump to succeed. But just there's so many other issues to hit here. Bottom line, we had the real head of the DOJ kill the investigation, what was done with me, which is open and shut. That's just emblematic of the problem here. And like you said, we're getting this slop instead. Is there any way for Trump to turn this around? And what's your advice? Because a lot of people listen to you in Congress and in the White House, Kyle.
A weird thing to think about, but that may be the case. So let's do it this way. Every year you get a new start. Everybody does a New Year's resolution. They decide they want to be healthy. They want to go to the gym. They want to start something new. How about the New Year's resolution that you underpromise, overdeliver, and then refocus on the things? Highlight the wins quietly. You could do propaganda that's not slop. And I highlighted some of that on my program this morning. I've watched Pete Hegseth go out and say, here's a real problem that we see in the, let's say, the chaplain corps.
Shooting. They want to be told, hey, we're doing
just
this.
Just tell me what the problem is.
Yeah.
And then tell me an expectation. Look, it's going to take me 6 months to get after it. We're going to work on it. We probably won't give you updates until we have success because we don't want to waste your time. Great. Got it. You can come out and get ahead of almost anything if you're honest with people. It's the way that I was successful in sales. I will tell you what's good. I'll tell you what's bad. I'll tell you what I like. I'll tell you if I don't like the price, but it's worth it because of this. We just tell you honestly and people go, okay, well, that's a straight shooter. I'm going to make a good decision for myself. If you come out and try to sell me, Americans recognize sales tactics that are over aggressive. We don't want to go to a used car lot and have someone try to cram it down. We go, okay, that's too much. The Trump administration needs to refocus with a little bit of humility. And you can do that on January 1st. It's a great day to start. You're probably going to have to clean house. Some of these people are tainted. They've spent too much time on image. They've spent too much time on ego. You're going on podcasts to talk about who your girlfriend is, which I just saw Patel do last night, which was atrocious. It was just bad on every level.
Oh, everybody hates it right and left. Instead of, I'm going
to because you're lying to us. We know you're lying.
Instead of, I'm going to find out we're going to stop the Islamic terror. We're going to, or talk about how we found all these kids, or we're going to find the brown shooter. Oh, look at my girlfriend. She's so great. Like, this is literally, he's having the ego stroke, the super country star, whatever her name is. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It is sad. And we're not trying to be mean to Patel. He has something missing in his head to not realize how stupid this is.
The people that advise him are I know who advises him. The woman's name is Erica Knight, and I've spoken to her a number of times on the phone, and I know that she doesn't know much about national security, and theoretically she knows about PR, but the number one rule of PR, when you're in a hole, you stop digging, so put down the shovel. That's a great thing.
If you're explaining,
you're losing.
I totally agree. Let's say I wasn't a married man. I know my audience. If I paraded my girlfriend on here and talked about how great she was, people are like, what is this? We're tuning in to hear about events. We care about ourselves. We don't want to hear about your girlfriend. This is not like some, what is this?
This looks like a long form Katie Miller, who is the wife of Stephen Miller, the deputy chief of staff for the White House. This looks like an access-based official White House propaganda slop operation. And a lot of it was simply trying to claim the things that I say every morning, because I'm a little bit focused on the FBI. I think they're the thing that might kill me and my family. So I'm pretty serious about it. I think that this was an attempt to push back against the stuff I said. And all they ended up doing, because I watched the Twitter comments, I watched the people who saw it in real time and went, this is crap. I watched the mainstream left media reach out to me and go, did you watch it yet? And I said, no, I'm putting it off. And they said, you might not want to watch it. It's not any good, to the point where my wife fell asleep, two times in 40 minutes. It's not good. So go out and do work. The people who are doing the best work never have to tell you they're doing good work because you can see it. The people that brief you on what a great job they're doing, those are the people that everybody naturally is suspicious of. That's what the Trump administration needs to pivot to. Do the thing that you said. You don't have to tell us you did it once you've done it. Well, no, we'll see it.
Absolutely. All right, Kyle Serafin, let me know when you can come back on soon, because there's so much other stuff we didn't get to. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Alex.
Challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping helping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, things are really coming to a head. Nick Fuentes is with us for the next hour and 50 minutes or so. Nick predicted a lot of problems with the new Trump administration, and a lot of those have come true. I don't think he did that to be mean. He did that to try to put pressure on him to do the right thing, because we need the Trump administration to succeed. But also, there's been so much great stuff that's been done, RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and the border, and that's escalated up, and now we see 2.5 million deported. But at the same time, the messaging, oh, the economy's great, inflation's over. No, it's not. You put in some policies that are starting to turn it around. And then Trump comes out and promotes the H-1B visas. That blows up in his face, so he backs off under criticism. You know, I mean, it's a good thing that we can see when we put pressure, we get a lot of course correction. But then you've got the mishandling the Epstein situation, and you've got all these other things that are going on. And then, you know, Rasmussen polling's the best. They warned Trump. He was starting to drop 6 months ago. He's now basically the lowest point in his 9 years off and on in office. And then you got the Trump worshipers that get mad at me when I say, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Look out. Then you got people mad at me saying just totally abandon Trump. And I'm like, oh, and then have the Democrats want to put me in prison? So it's like I'm in this lifeboat that's leaking. It's all I've got. So that's my paradox. I try to criticize Trump to get him to make the right decisions. I don't think he's playing 50D chess, you know, and he's God. It's very paradoxical, but he is set to address the nation, and I'll be covering it live tonight in a simulcast with Steve Bannon. He hasn't given me the exact times, but he's going on before, during, and after. So tonight we're doing a show. Just look for like 7:30 Central or so. Trump goes live at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. So look for that. And they've been very tight-lipped. We don't know what this is going to be. If Trump comes out and does hours of all the great things they've done and cheerleading and it's the best economy ever and everything's fine, people want to be straight shot. Yeah, you've cut some energy prices. A few things have gotten better. A lot of great jobs being brought back, but it takes time. Don't do that. If he does that, I'm going to be even more concerned. Hopefully he just straight shoots people on a whole bunch of issues and rallies the public and says, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And so I wanted to ask Nick Fuentes out of the gates, what does he think of this moment we're in? Because we have Susie Wiles in this TV interview, this Vanity Fair interview, and she said similar things in the TV interview, so I tend to think it's accurate. Like shots at Elon Musk with him taking ketamine to relax and all these other statements. And she looks like she doesn't understand she's on TV. And then they take from that, well, is this the end of the Trump era? Well, I don't want it to be the end right now, but we should think about what comes after. So there's a lot there. This is an administration in crisis. And we're not saying that to join the Democrats and create a crisis. We're in a crisis. You called the crisis beforehand. And so I want to get into it. And then we've got all these other issues that we'll get into you with on Islam and what's the main threat to America and long-term what comes after Trump. Nick Fuentes, Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. Follow him on X as well. Nick, great to have you here with us today. And I know you've got your topics as well I want to get into, but first off, what is the State of the Union right now? What does Trump need to do tonight versus what do you predict he does?
Well, I think the State of the Union is very bad right now. When you look at what was promised in 2024, it was supposed to be a golden age, no new wars, close the border, all this sort of stuff. And I think everybody realizes at this point that that has not happened. And it doesn't even seem that the administration is trying very hard. And what's sad about it is it seems that the administration doesn't even know where to go after this. As you said, it is an objective fact. It's not subjective opinion. It's not blackpilling. The administration has its lowest approval since Trump got back into office. I think it's down to 39%. That's one of the lowest numbers we've had since the first term. And you see that the administration seems to not really know how to bounce back. And we talked about it shortly after the off-year election back in November. Trump administration is totally fumbling from one thing after the next, flopping around with the Epstein files. Then you have the Marjorie Taylor Greene leaving Congress. Now you have this post about Rob Reiner, who was brutally murdered at his home in Hollywood. And these are all things that not only are they not winning back the whole country, let's say like the middle or the coalition that propelled Trump into office in 24, but it's even losing Trump's most virile supporters, his biggest and loudest supporters, people like Marjorie Greene. Why is she not on the team? People that wanted transparency on Epstein files. Why are they not on the coalition? And, you know, stuff like that post on True Social. I don't know anybody that likes that. I don't know anybody that thinks that's acceptable. So
well, let's be clear.
The
we administration, love Trump attacking powerful globalists like Hillary, saying he'll be in prison. But it's an obvious no-brainer. I put a video out saying I was sad he was dead, because I generally was, even though I didn't like Rob Reiner and he'd gotten me deplatformed and celebrated and been involved with Brennan doing it. I said he was still a talented guy. I'm sorry he's dead. But even from a cynical view, say something nice about a man and woman brutally murdered by their son. Like, it's the dumbest move. So you have to ask about a 79-year-old Trump. I don't think it's dementia. I don't think he's, you know, but regardless, he's making very bad decisions. I mean, that is just as a microcosm. What a crazy PR decision.
Well, he's floundering. He's floundering. And I think, like we talked about last time, sadly, it seems like he has fully engaged the old playbook, which is that he's in trouble. He knows he's in trouble. The approval ratings are down. His base seems to be leaving him a little bit. And whenever that happens, he always doubles down on mean tweets, let's say, as a category. Not necessarily a mean post on Twitter, although that is how it is expressed and how it manifests. But he doubles down on cruelty, culture war, laying into his enemies, ranting on television. And that used to be a playbook that worked, I think, back in the first administration or even in that first election in 2016. But now it seems like he sort of lost his touch. It's kind of tone deaf. Whereas at one time he was bringing that fight against, like you said, the globalists, somebody like Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Who's he attacking now? Now it's anybody that wanted Epstein files. Now it's Marjorie Greene, who is one of his people, who is like one of the first MAGA congressmen that rode that wave.
She made
after
that
his
point
original
yesterday. It's on record. She's right. He has all these Republicans in that vote against him, but they kiss his ass. And then she votes 98% of the time with him, but warns him. And then he turns on her and calls her a traitor. That is so stupid. And it hurt him bad in the polls. Like, that's dumb.
Exactly. And that's what's sad is you have these policy failures. And I agree with you in many ways. It's a long 4 years. A lot of this stuff is complicated. Trump is trying. And you're right. It's not all bad. There are some things that are good that are going on. And I think that people might have patience for him to follow through. But the problem is he's reacting badly to the poll numbers, and it's making everything worse. It's compounding the failure. So you have a first year, which is pretty lackluster and disappointing. People get upset. In order to make people happy, he starts lashing out wildly, floundering with really no strategy. And if there is, not a very good one. And now people are accelerating their exit from the party. And so the question is, does Trump have the power inside of himself to make himself new again? Can he renew? Can he get on a solid footing? Or is this just going to be like a miserable, long decline?
It's like he was good the first 6 months, and during the campaign last year and a half, he was really good at not being the reactionary, manipulated Trump. Now he's worse than ever. Jimmy Kimmel had no viewers. He talks about him, boosts his ratings, empowers him. What is Susie Wiles doing giving corporate media interviews to Vanity Fair? It's like they just don't get it. And so the old Trump that had problems but woke up, got better, now it's back to the old Trump but worse.
Yes, and that was a big part of my prediction last year. As I said, he just hasn't learned his lesson. Because the first administration, let's be honest, it's not what anybody really wanted. He didn't really deliver the victory. And what I wanted to see in 24 is, okay, you've had a go at it. You've been there for 4 years. You made your connections. Are you now going to be able to go in and govern better, govern effectively? And I remember during the campaign, I saw a lot of things that suggested, no, it's the same old Trump. And actually, maybe he's probably worse. So it has been a big disappointment. And I think it's even more disappointing because there's such a mandate. There's such an opportunity right now. And you hate to speak about it in these ways, but Charlie Kirk being assassinated, that was actually a political opportunity to get things done, to tackle the left, which is trying to kill and persecute our side. And so to not only not deliver on this historic mandate when you win the election, but also then to pass up opportunities. And again, you hate to speak about it in those terms, but this is politics.
Let me give you an example. Like 6-7 days after they bring up Charlie, I know people behind the scenes said Trump was very upset, all of this. And they go to Trump, they say, what about Charlie? And he goes, oh, never mind. Look at the ballroom. And it was just like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like it's true. We are under attack. The left saying kill us. He should make a bigger issue out of that. Exactly. He suddenly went from making a lot better moves during the campaign in the first 3 or 4 months to running out Elon, doing all this. Susie Wiles attacking Elon. Oh, he's a ketamine head. I mean, it's just it's bad.
It is bad. And it seems like that whole approach just failed because I like the Doge approach. I like the Elon Musk approach. I liked how they talked about operating, which is we're going to move quickly.
He had the highest ratings ever during that. And that's made the Republican establishment scared. And somehow they manipulated him to kick him out. And then the people want to cheerlead Trump. Oh, you're a traitor. You're for Elon. I'm like, no, idiots. Elon is a freaking genius. We need him in there. And it's popular, you dumbasses.
Yeah, I think people loved it. People liked the idea of bringing that energy to the White House and actually disrupting. That's the whole point, is to drain the swamp, get rid of the deep state, actually shake things up. And you're right. I think that got too popular. Maybe too many people liked it. Or, you know, Elon wasn't playing the patronage system. He was going in there and firing people that were protected or felt like they were protected. And so they lashed out and said, no, no, you don't understand. That's not how things work around here. In D.C., everybody needs to get their back scratched. Everybody needs to get paid or whatever. And now we are back to that kind of sclerotic tempo that we had in the first term. And I think it'll be met with similar results. It's like we've been talking about. Midterms are next year. We almost certainly lose the House. We might even lose it earlier than that, sadly, you know, between now and New Year's Eve or in January. And then what do you do? Does it get better after we lose the House? I think it gets worse. So,
by the way, some listeners won't get that. If you have enough Republicans quit or leave, like MTG, they're already down to one or two. They don't vote. They've already lost the House technically.
Exactly, because it's a 4-vote majority as of 24. They've had a number of people withdraw. And this is typically when people announce their retirement, is during the holiday season, on the off year. And so you're right. If they lose a few more seats, then they lose the majority and then they can't govern even earlier, even before 26. And, you know, that's not really a glowing endorsement. This is supposed to be the golden age and people are literally headed for the exits before the midterms even happen, before you even lose the election. So it's really
sad. All because
sad.
Trump literally slaps him around on TV. By the way, certain people have said, oh, MTG's not getting real threats. It's on record she has. I get threats. Scott tried to come and kill you earlier this year. And they're like, oh, she's making it up. No, I talked to her on the phone. And the police reports are there. They are under total assault right now. And she's like, I'm not running for president. I'm done. She's like, I'm a successful businesswoman. I did my tour. You know, she's done. And people love MTG. I mean, that hurt Trump again. He probably lost 3-4 points doing that to her. Again, it's idiotic. And I'll say it, Trump, you're destroying yourself. We need you to succeed. God almighty.
It's really sad about Marjorie Greene. And you know what? People understand how she feels because we've all been on this train for 10 years. We've all been on this ride and we've all sacrificed a lot. The threats are real. The lawfare is real. Everything that has happened to you, to me, Marjorie, Tim Pool, all these people that have been under the gun, We've been fighting this battle for a very long time. And for Trump to get this opportunity, he's finally has like ultimate power, let's say, House, Senate, White House, popular vote, Supreme Court. He really has an opportunity to move, and he's just blowing it. And on top of it, then going in and attacking the people that helped propel him into the office for demanding the Epstein files, for not wanting regime change in Iran, you know, the basic promises. And so you look at someone like Marjorie Greene, she goes, well, you know what, then I'm out. I don't need to have my kids threatened. I don't need to have my family threatened to die. If we're all in this battle for a leader who's not really leading from the front, she goes, I don't need this. I'm out. And you sort of understand it. Now, I think that you really can't give up. I mean, and I think you and I are on the same page. You have to fight it through to the finish. I don't know that we'd be doing anything other than this.
I was about to say, that's the paradox. We talked about the phone a few days ago. This isn't perfect. It's got problems, but the alternative, what do the Democrats do if they get back in? I mean, we got to talk about that. So there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way to slap Trump around. Here's the question. Can he be reproved? Can we turn this around?
Honest answer, no, I don't think so. I feel like this is deja vu all over again. And I remember covering the first term until 2020 and saying, here's how Trump can still do it. We still have 1 year to do Section 230 or close the border, you know, whatever. I remember right up until the very end saying, here's how we could still get it together. And I think that it's him. Like, he is the problem. I think that he's not strategic. He doesn't have the follow through. His personality is toxic. I mean, we could cope and we can say, well, if we just push really hard on Twitter, if we just make some calls. Yeah, I mean, we could put pressure on the administration. That's really all we can do. And we have to do what we can. But what are the realistic chances we get Trump to snap out of it? He's an 80-year-old man. I think when you're 80 years old, you're kind of out of reinvention. I don't see a lot of people don't tend to change. They certainly don't change their ways at 80 years old. And especially when they're the king of America and no one can tell them no. So sadly, I think we're kind of just stuck with this. And we have to just try
to use a full bore war with Venezuela as a distraction.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he's doing, which is just straight out of House of Cards. I mean, it's like, that's the cynical play.
So let's talk about
play.
What a flailing Trump's going to do and the dangers of it.
So I think a flailing Trump, this is the war, you know, and there's been some sources that have said that he will announce a war with Venezuela tonight. This is just a classic. This is what you do. You get in trouble. You start what is considered to be a short-term, easy intervention, like George Bush in Desert Storm, or George Bush in Panama, for that matter. You get an easy win. It's a slam dunk, and that helps you in the midterm. So I think he does something like that. And afterward, I don't know where he goes from here. I think he's just getting more and more bitter and angry. I think they might try. I think what they should do is a big push on their domestic agenda. I think they should try to use budget reconciliation and get through.
But the polls show great. But we want, even if he's doing domestic stuff, which he is, we need to hear about that more. Exactly.
Yes, and do what we elected you to do. Get a bill together that closes the border. It's law and order. We have to stop the crime in the cities. You know, an Irina Zarutska law, something like that. Do something about election fraud, paper ballots. I don't know. Get a domestic agenda together. Use budget reconciliation to the extent that you can, or one of these other deadlines, defense authorization, whatever, and get some legislation passed. At the end of the day, Trump has only passed 5 bills in his first year, 5 bills in the whole Congress. So there's just not a lot of governing that's happening. There's not a lot of policy. So if I'm Trump, I would say put down the phone, stop posting about Somalians and about Rob Reiner and all this other stuff, and actually govern, pass some executive orders, pass some legislation, actually create some policy. And then, like you said, make the case, talk about it, sell it to the American people. But they just have nothing to run on. You're going into the midterms with literally nothing to run on. I can't think of a single tangible victory, a policy-related victory, arguably other than closing the border. But that should have been a given. I mean, that should have been done a long time ago. So if I'm Trump, that's what I'm going
to
do.
What do you make of Wiles trying to put him back on the campaign trail? I think that's a really bad idea. It'll exhaust him, divert him more. We want action. We want policy. We want indictments. Real indictments, that makes us win. What do you really think about Susie Wiles?
I never liked her. I never liked her. And I don't think that her head is in the same place as Trump. I know a lot of people say she's not really the problem. Well, she's a lobbyist. She's a lobbyist from Florida, from this Ballard firm. She's in bed with all these other governments. And Florida is a swamp. I mean, it's a literal and figurative swamp. And by the way, she brought all these people in. These are all Florida people. Mike Waltz, who was fired for being in bed with Israel, he's a Florida. Pam Bondi, exactly right. Rubio, who is pushing this war in Venezuela and then Cuba and then Nicaragua. These are all Florida people. Ratcliffe, I believe she brought in as well. I don't know that he's from Florida, did. But
just to be clear, you and I contextually, historically, under Thomas Jefferson, gunboat diplomacy, get hemispheric power. Technically, Trump can do this, but they're going to set him up, a new Vietnam, the CIA, they've already tried it, and they're doing it as a diversion. So that's why I'm saying actually they shouldn't do it.
Well, and not only that, but it is so much more ambitious than people realize. This is like a reverse domino theory where Rubio is like this guy. This is his presidential campaign material. He wants to be the guy that toppled Venezuela and then toppled Cuba and then toppled Nicaragua. As a Cuban American, his dream is like
and Mexico.
Right. The left wing regime in Mexico, maybe even Lula while we're at in Brazil. His dream is to like defeat communism and leftism in the Caribbean and Latin America.
And I would support that if it could be done. But I've looked at the angles and it's like you're talking about multiple Vietnams here. And then the Russians are sneaking around. They may the word is just like Cuba in 61 have nukes there.
Well, it's a jungle. It's a jungle. Venezuela's 30 million people, many cities. It's a jungle. Mexico's 130 million people. The Mexican government doesn't even have control over the country. Cuba's got special forces. Like, so I don't know that the American public is really ready to buy into this. Like, I don't even know what you would call this. Like you said, it's multiple Vietnams in the Caribbean. It's a much greater commitment than people actually are thinking about. And I don't know who voted for that. I think the whole pitch was no.
It's a reverse Red Dawn. It's not Latin America with the Russians invading us. It's just invading them. And again, if Trump, I'd love to fix that if we had the CIA under control, but they're going to set him up for sure. I mean, I've already heard from sources of the Pentagon, the CIA is already leaking the attack plans to Nicolas Maduro. So we're walking into a trap. And people get confused by us because we're being academic saying we wish this was gone, but could it be done?
Well, that's the question. If you could wave a magic wand and have the entire Western Hemisphere align with Washington, of course, that would be in our best interest. And I would even support engagement with these countries to that end. But the question is regime change the way to go? Are you actually going to get the kind of order that you want, or are you going to get guerrilla warfare with drug cartels and Indians shooting at you from the jungle? Are you going to get narco-terrorism? Are you going to get something that is a lot more far-reaching than what you bargained for? And the record of history is that these kinds of coups and regime change, it doesn't actually work most of the time.
That's the key, is that these groups only have the drugs and things they're doing. There's no government, so you can't even come in and take them over. They're going to have to continue and fight you because it's all they have.
Exactly. What is the parallel structure? Okay, you remove Maduro. Now who's going to rule Venezuela? We're going to be setting up another nation-building thing like we did in Iraq. Just not a good idea. And it'll fail, you know? Should have kept their promises.
Well, yeah, I was on the fence, but I had my concerns. That Flynn came on 2 weeks ago. And he said, don't do it. It's a setup. Nick Fuentes is on fire. We're going to come right back. We got so many huge other topics to cover. And I have things I disagree with him on. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at theolivehillstore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking methylene blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Bovine Colostrum, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Cardiovascular Detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operation. It's a true thorn on the side of the globals on the air. And separately, the classic Nitric Boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com Nitric Boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me. Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I got a bunch of questions for Nick Fuentes. Big topics, really important stuff. That was a great first 25 minutes. And I was jumping in a lot because what he was saying I totally agree with. But I want to just give you 10 minutes with me shutting up here to finish up on Venezuela, what you think Trump should say at this address tonight versus what you think he's going to say. It's not even a prediction, but what you predict or your dead reckoning. And then I want to move into what will it look like if Trump fails and what do you think we should expect? And then how do we move on from Trump? If we're entering the post-Trump era, if this continues, and what is your advice to the American people and the people of the world? Then I want to look at the rise of Islam. I'm going to look at where Israel's going and so much more with Nick J. Fuentes. Nick, please continue.
Yeah, so picking up on Venezuela, we have this address tonight. I think, like you said, it's at 8 o'clock Central, and I don't know exactly what he's going to say. Like you said, they've been pretty tight-lipped about it. I saw on Judge Napolitano, Tucker was just a guest on that show this morning, and he said he was told by a member of Congress it's going to be a declaration of war. And at the minimum, that's going to be a part of the address, and we're going to war with Venezuela. And, you know, that would track because, of course, this has been escalating over the past few weeks. Most recent development is that Trump has effectively declared a blockade of Venezuela, or at least an oil blockade. He said over the weekend that the United States will interdict all oil shipments that are leaving Venezuela, and most of those are going to China. About 80% of Venezuela's crude is going to China. And this follows up from the seizure of the oil tanker last week. So he seized an oil tanker. Presumably, we're going to take the oil. This weekend, he said that actually all of the oil exports will be shut down, and that effectively destroys Venezuela's economy. And as we talked about with Iran, other conflicts, this is that maximum pressure strategy, and this is just the latest escalation. So it would be fitting if tonight there was some declaration of ground strikes, let's say. This is something they've been talking about for a long time. They've assembled this armada, this giant naval force. It's a carrier strike group. I think it's 10 warships in total, 10,000 troops, F-35 squadrons. They have been stationing in Trinidad and Tobago and Puerto Rico off the coast. And they've been threatening for a long time that all of these naval strikes, I think there's been about 25 maritime strikes against these little drug boats, killed nearly 100 people. They've been saying for a long time that eventually that will progress into targeted airstrikes on the ground at military facilities, airports, where there's drug trafficking happening, and they're actually going to bomb Venezuela's territory. Maduro has been preparing for that. They've been shutting down highways. They have been getting ready. So it seems that that would be logical that Trump would announce there would be some major action tonight. That being said, you sort of alluded to this earlier. You said it could just be an hour of Trump bragging about his accomplishments. And I think it's totally possible that it could also just be a load of crap. Because how many fake outs have there been this year where Trump says, I have an Oval Office address. I'm addressing the public from the White House at noon tomorrow. And he gets up and it's like, we have the greatest economy. The stock market is back. Inflation isn't real. Affordability is not real. So I'm sort of 50-50. 50% chance it could be a load of crap and it's just a lot of self-aggrandizement. 50% chance it could be a declaration of war on Venezuela. And then how it progresses, if I had to guess, I would think that this is just ratcheting up the maximum pressure. And maybe this is just a shot in the dark. I don't know that he's announcing a swift operation to capture Maduro or invade the country. I don't think there will even be an invasion, strictly speaking. They have about 10,000 personnel stationed off the coast. It could be the case that they have put together a larger force covertly somewhere else. That's not enough people to invade Venezuela. You had 20,000 invade Panama, and that's a country that's a fraction of the size, fraction of the population, smaller military. So I don't think you're going to get a full-fledged invasion with that size of a force. I think what you might get is a tightening of the noose, and they're going to choke Venezuela off more. So they have the blockade. Now, if they start initiating ground strikes, maybe there's some other covert actions by the CIA, which they announced earlier in the year would be operating in the country. Maybe they're looking at something more limited just to increase the pressure slightly more. And maybe that's the play. Now, will that succeed? I guess it depends largely on how they carry this out and how competent the military is. I don't have very high hopes for it. I don't think that the military is really prepared for something like this. It came together very quickly. Military's not been extremely effective in the past so many years. You know, they're really good at dropping bombs from aircraft like they did against ISIS and like they did against Iran. But a ground operation, I feel like we haven't seen anything like that in a very long time. So the odds of success, I don't know that it's particularly high. And I don't know that that's even something the American public is looking for. Like we talked about in the previous segment, as always, this is the appeal to the voters before the midterms. If you're struggling on your domestic agenda, if you're flailing because of a domestic scandal, you always go for a quick and easy war, like we talked about with George Bush in Persian Gulf or in Panama, where they did regime change, or even in Grenada with Reagan. You always go for a quick and easy layup, makes Americans feel confident. I don't know that that will even have the same effect. First of all, we don't know that it will be entirely successful or on what timeline or if there will be any kinds of complications. Secondly, is this really what the people voted for? I think the people voted for lower prices. People voted actually to end wars, not start new ones. I don't know that regime change was really part of the mix. I think actually we want the opposite. People voted for an end to free trade, something like tariffs or a more protectionist agenda, and we're just not succeeding on any of those fronts. So I don't know how you bring that to Republican or Democrat voters as some sort of huge victory in 2026, especially when almost everything else is looking really bad. The deportations aren't happening, as we've talked about. Economy's not where it needs to be. Many people are predicting potentially an imminent recession, a housing bust, the AI bubble might burst, have a lot of red flags and early warning indicators in the economy. How much is that even going to move the needle? I'm skeptical that that's going to have a big impact. So this is the playbook. I think that if Trump really wanted to have any kind of recovery before the midterm elections or at all, I think you have to refocus on the domestic agenda. That is what people want to see solved. You got to get those deportation numbers up. You got to build a border wall. You got to end the war in Ukraine somehow, some way. You have to end the war in Gaza. It looks like even that is coming apart. You need to fix the economy. You need to do something domestically. Get a super bill together. Get an omnibus bill together. Use budget reconciliation, which they have for the fiscal year 2026. Use national defense authorization or whatever you need to do. Use one of those measures to get a super bill passed. Get Republicans and Democrats together and just pass something. Make life better for Americans. But I fear, and this is something you pointed out too, not only will that not happen, it may actually even get worse. Because as you said, according to Susie Wiles in an interview this weekend, she's going to have Trump campaigning in 26 like he was in 24. And a lot of people don't think about this, but the president of the United States, like anybody, only has so many hours in the day. And so if we're going to engage in this huge campaign in 26, Trump is going to be flying around doing rallies. The guy's 80 years old. You can't be doing four rallies in a day like you were doing in 2020. And if you do, you're not going to have time and energy for literally anything else.
And that's perfect for the deep state to come in and sneak stuff past him. I noticed Wiles 3 days ago in a TV interview says he doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be back on the campaign trail. Then I see him yesterday. Well, I just heard I'm going to be on the campaign trail. He's literally admitting that she's directing him.
Which is so gross. The whole point of Trump is that he's supposed to be the boss. Who is Susie Wiles? Nobody elected her. She's a lobbyist from Florida. And you're right. He goes, yeah, well, I guess I'm going to be campaigning. She's the boss. And you make a good point. If Trump is out there on the campaign trail, first of all, he's already falling asleep in every meeting. And which is, you know, look, the guy's an old man. I think everybody would understand that. But now you can't be doing both of those things. You can't walk and chew gum at the same time then. If he's going to be running around the country, if Susie Wiles is going to be running him ragged, not only can he not focus on the agenda, but you're right. This is where he loses control of the White House, which is always the concern that the cabinet members, that the lobbyists, that the special interests, when Trump is out of the house, when daddy's not home, other people are going to go in the White House and they're going to be manipulating personnel. They're going to be manipulating policy. And so let's say, for example, Netanyahu is pushing Trump really hard on a war with Iran. And Trump, to his credit, put his foot down and said no for many months. And even when they wanted him to intervene in June, it was very limited. I'm not happy that he bombed Iran, but it could have been a lot worse. And that is just objectively true. And that's because Trump is in the driver's seat and he's got some people that are backing him up. If he's out there falling asleep on the campaign trail in Georgia or Pennsylvania or whatever, they're going to get stuff past the goalie. They're going to get things through because he's not going to be fully in control.
Well, look at the psychology. They know he wants to win. And so they'll say, sir, we've got to do this. And yeah, it helps a little, but nothing compared to actual developments and things. And we know that they're always trying to hide things from him. This is like we saw in the first administration. So I'm going to say it right now. Trump, yeah, okay, go for Mike Lindell for governor of Minnesota, stuff like that. Pick and choose a few. But maybe do 3 or 4 events a month. But what we really want is action and you addressing the American people. And you bringing out these issues, we'll give your advice, President Trump, because this is such an obvious trap. You see her power trip in the interview. I know you've seen it. People haven't. We should play it. We can dig it up. She's like, well, they don't know it yet. He doesn't know it yet, but he's going back on the campaign trail. Ha, ha. And Trump's like, well, I guess it's important. I guess I'm told I'm going. Again, this is outrageous. No, that is not the interest of his time. It's great to have crowds out there. It's fun, all that. No, we need him engaged. And we need him not worried about what Jimmy Kimmel is saying with no ratings or what Vanity Fair is saying. But again, it's nothing against it. There's all these 79-year-old people like Trump and Wiles. They still think ABC News is important. They don't understand that. You look at the ratings and go, ABC Nightly News, 2 million viewers. Nick Fuentes' Nightly Show, 20 million viewers. They don't even... We went on Elon Musk's show. 1 billion people tuned in. It got picked up everywhere. And then Trump only went on Elon one time. Like, I was like, it's total idiocy. But it's because they still think cable TV is king.
That's a really good observation that a lot of people don't realize, because it is like a boomer thing. Trump being from television world and being 80 years old, you're exactly right. He actually still cares about what the New York Times writes about him. He actually still cares about what network television is reporting on. And you're right. Television as a whole is not powerful anymore. It's all online. It's all digital. And at the minimum, that's where the young people are. That's where the coveted demographic is, that 18 to 35 demographic. They're all getting their news on TikTok. They're all getting their news on X. They're all getting their news on YouTube, on the internet. And you're right. They're still getting attacked by like 60 Minutes or like CBS News,
and responding
ABC.
Back, like Trump, I'm going to sue you. And those shows are only big when he goes on them. So so the only time dinosaur media is big is when it's online. He doesn't understand that.
No, and sadly, Charlie Kirk is the one that did understand that. Charlie Kirk, to his credit, delivered the young people for Trump in 24 because he was on TikTok, because he made a deal. And unlike the Republicans that sort of turned their noses up at it, he was there and fought the culture war among the young people. And that's the next generation. Trump was like, oh, no, I have to go and interview with like Barbara Walters or something. I have to go on like 60 Minutes and I care about what the New York Times says. He still deeply cares about the mainstream media and Hollywood. He wants to be their champion. And so if I'm him, I say you got to go hard and fast. There is urgency. You have to be swift. You have to outmaneuver and have a faster tempo than the deep state. And you need to focus on the things that are going to win the voters back, specifically the young people. And that's things like affordability. It's crime. It's ending the wars. And if you're out there running this campaign, it's unfortunately the prophecy that I gave last year, which is you actually don't have the full 4 years. You're going to have like realistically about maybe 15, 18 months. And then they're going to start campaigning for the midterms. They're going to be so busy. Then they're going to lose. And then everyone's going to be campaigning for 2028. And half the cabinet will be in that position. Then you're in 28. And it's like, so you never actually get a chance to govern. And this is my problem. It's like when we vote every year, are we going to get 4 years of Trump pushing hard, trying to get victories? Are we going to get like 3 months of executive orders and then like 3 years and 9 months of crap where they're like campaigning and trying to make everybody happy and they're listening to the donors and they're just kind of sitting on their hands, stalling, running out the clock? Because that is exactly what happened in the first term. And sadly, like I said, it's deja vu all over again. So I think that you're right. Trump should maybe pick a few critical races where he can make a difference. And those are the races that'll make a difference for him. He should maybe do one event per week. Keep his schedule light, and he should really overclock the White House like they did in the first 3 months. I don't know what happened. I don't know what changed.
We had the globalist off balance, the highest approval rating ever, magic, and then they convinced him to get rid of Elon. So the second hour is coming up, and you got other topics you want to hit. But just briefly, what future do you see, though, if Trump messes this up? And then the Democrats don't just win the midterms and turn it all around about impeachment. What happens in 2028 when they get back in? Because they've said they're coming after everybody.
If the Democrats win, it's just over, you know, because, and this is the thing about the pendulum swinging back and forth. We elected Trump the first time and he failed. He failed. He totally crapped the bed. Biden gets in. And what is the first thing Biden did after that? J6, arrest everybody. We're going to hire 1,000 FBI agents, 1,000 judges. We're going to go for, what do they say? They said it was going to be shock and awe against the e-celebrities, against the influencers, against the Trump lieutenants, and they crushed everybody. Rudy Giuliani and you and me and everybody, they crushed everybody. And then they went in with the COVID stimulus, and they only gave it to their allies, women and non-white people. They said white men need not apply for the COVID stimulus. And then they came in with the vax. So we're going to get a redux of that. And just like how Trump has escalated, the Democrats will escalate. When they get back in, it's going to make the first Biden term look like a joke. When Kamala Harris or Gavin Newsom or whoever wins, they are coming after us so hard. And here's the difference. They know how to use the government. We do not. Their allies run Washington. Washington is like 95% Democrat. All the career political people, all the lifers, they're all liberal Democrats. They're all gay. They're all women. They're all like, you know, PMC types, college educated. When they get back in power, unlike the Trump administration, they are going to move like a hot knife through butter when they go after us, just as they did under Biden. And so it's going to be a full war on guns. It's going to be a full war on free speech, on social media. It's going to be a full war on the radical right. I imagine they're going to throw open the border to some extent. How much repair are they going to do after Trump has sent all the refugees back and, you know, changed immigration law? They're going to say, oh, well, we're open for business all over again. So I think that it's going to be fire and fury against the right wing, and especially against Trump. And this time, he's not going to pardon anybody just like last time. Maybe he'll pardon himself preemptively. He'll pardon his people. He'll get a golden parachute. The rest of us, we are screwed. And this is why I said on Tucker and on other shows, you can't take the fight to the left and not finish it. When you go at the king, you can't miss. Because if you miss, the king cuts your head off. Like, and that's obvious. You go for the king, you can't miss. Because if you fail, you stumble. They call down the guards and you get executed. Your whole family gets executed. They burn down your village. And that's really what Trump has done now for the second time. He's going for the seat of power, going for the permanent bureaucracy, going for the left, whatever you want to call it, really hard. And he's you know, attacking them so viciously on social media, talking all this trash. And in the end, all he does is piss them off. All he does is make them angry, such that when they inevitably get back in power, they're going to attack us with a vengeance. And he's doing it all over again. And by the way,
what's the way out of this?
We have to win. And we just have to win. There's no substitute for victory. Trump has to turn it around. And if he can't, then we need somebody in 2028. Everybody is ready to coronate Vance. Everybody is ready to cry. And I know you like him and other people like him, but everybody's saying like, oh, well, Vance is going to be the next president. It's not a negotiation. We need somebody in 28 who's going to carry the mantle of Trumpism, win and finish it. Like Caesar, like the Republic is over. This is the American empire.
Sure, well, people Democrats don't seem to get it. They go, wait, Nick supported Trump 10 years ago and up until like 5 years ago. But now he's not. So how is he wants Trump to succeed? You want him policy-wise to succeed, but you didn't support him to draw attention to what you thought were the problems so that you would hope he would succeed. If I put words in your mouth, correct me. And so that's kind of how I see this. But we have to have an ultimate urgency right now. 1 year into this, folks, I agree with what Nick's saying, regardless, to look at how much danger we're in. And if Trump doesn't succeed, J.D. Vance, it doesn't matter how good a candidate he is or what a nice guy he is, they're just going to engage in election fraud and remove him.
Yep, and they did it in 2020, and they're not, haven't done anything to fix it. And here's another thing. The next president will preside over the 2030 census. Whenever the next president gets in, you're going to have a census in 2030. And for people that don't know what that means, you don't just count up all the people. You then also apportion the congressional seats, the electoral votes. So whoever the next president is going to be extremely powerful, because then they're going to preside over that. Like right now, they're battling this out in Texas and California, this redistricting halfway through the decade. Whoever is president is going to get another shot at that in 2030. And then they'll determine for the following 5 or 10 years how many seats there are, how many electoral votes there are. So it does really come down to 28. And somebody needs to get in who's extremely bold and takes risks. And urgency is the word. We just don't have time for like an incremental approach. And people are just negotiating with themselves, saying, well, that's not practical. That's not realistic. Well, we have to have reasonable expectations. No, I have unreasonable expectations. I'm unreasonable. And we want more. The base, America First, InfoWars, MAGA, like we want more than what we're getting.
Demanding our sons and daughters be brainwashed for transgenderism and leftist brainwashing. They demanded all this insane stuff. People gave it to them. We're just demanding common sense, liberty, and freedom, but we have to get aggressive. So I think it does go to the average populist, the American First person, conservative, need to realize this is existential. What should they be doing?
I think people should be getting involved. I'm a huge believer in we need a professional class. We need people that have gone to college. We need people that have professional jobs, and we need people to get involved in the party. We need people to run for office. Isn't it such a sad state that you look at the House of Representatives and the Senate, and it appears basically untouched by the Trump revolution? Trump won in 2016. It is now 2026 in a couple of weeks. You don't have literally one congressman that is MAGA. You don't have one senator that is MAGA, because everyone that did exist is now gone. Matt Gaetz, Madison Cawthorn, Marjorie Greene, they're all gone. Lindsey Graham is going to have another term. John Thune is going to be the majority leader. Kevin McCarthy, Mike Johnson, these have been the leadership in the House. You don't even have one. You have 435 members, and you don't even have one MAGA Republican. So I really believe there's been a failure on the part of the America First base to get organized. There's a lot of talk about doing that, think tanks and candidates and all this stuff, and it just never materialized. And so who inherits the Republican Party after Trump leaves? Well, it's going to be the usual suspects. Who's going to run? I mean, J.D. Vance, of course, Marco Rubio, who ran the first time. What are going to be the big think tanks? Heritage Foundation, Club for Growth, Chamber of Commerce. Like, this is still where the money is coming from. So I think that for people that are animated by this, they got to get involved in politics.
I totally agree. We're basically Rome in 406. And people ask, Rome still all the power, the military, but they had these elites that were corrupt, couldn't face a problem, brought in too many illegals. All of it, and then they just couldn't organize at the end because it was just business as usual, and Rome fell in 410. I think 2028 is the number. Each election just gets more important here on after, but we're basically already dead if there isn't a sense of urgency. And that's why I get invited to Mar-a-Lago in the White House, and I'm not trying to act cool. It's just I'm like, okay, what's the thing? Oh, I'm in a dinner with 20 people and Trump. I'm like, nah, I'm not going. I don't want to sit there at my own funeral. Like, I'm on the Titanic and the iceberg's 5 miles out. I'm like, can we change course? You can't. Just the captain's going to tell you how great you are and eat some caviar. And I'm like, I don't want to eat caviar. I want him to get control of the wheel and avoid that iceberg. We'll be right back in 2 minutes with Nick Fuentes. Hour number four, straight ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones